Works. Hello, welcome to the Creative Writing Life podcast. I'm Justin Sloan.
And I'm Paul Zeidman, and I'm very happy to introduce our guest today, Robert People, an author, screenwriter, editor, proofreader, all about Man About Town.
Awesome. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'll just set this up that I've known Robert via social media for a couple of years. We've interacted pretty much just online, but this is the first time we've actually interacted in some kind of, well, I can't say physical because it's not, because it's only audio, but this is the first time like we've really heard each other's voices.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. And we always do a quick, what have we been watching or reading or listening to, Robert? So I'll start us off on that. And then if you want to think of anything, recommendations for books or movies, whatever. I have two this week. I watched 13 Lives and I watched Top Gun Maverick, and I won't spoil either of them. I'll just say they're both freaking amazing. You will get emotional. Be warned. How about you, Paul? You got anything for us?
Let's see. I've kind of been working through like stuff I've always meant to watch but never really got around to. There was an old Western that was always said unavailable on Netflix. It's called Ride the High Country. I think it's like 1962. And it's Joel McRae and Randolph Scott, and it's directed by Sam Peckinpah, which I did not know. It was fun. You know, it's a good early 60s kind of Western, and you know, it's nothing too complicated about it. It was just an enjoyable story, a little predictable, but for the most part, you know, I'm glad I was finally able to check it off that I finally watched it.
There you go. How about Robert? You got anything for us?
Well, I will confess that I don't have anything current per se. There's a lot I would like to watch, and mainly, I would say the last show I would say really of any kind of substance was The Handmaid's Tale. I watched Handmaid's Tale with my wife when they were still in their last season. And as far as books, I'm writing now. I haven't really read or really finished reading. The last book I'm in the middle of now is, and I can't think of it because I'm not at home now, but Barack Obama's book. I want to say it's the... Oh goodness, it's a famous expression too. The pursuit of, not pursuit of, well, it's his book. And yeah, that was the last, I'm gonna say, book that I've read. I'm working on a book now, but that's the best. I'm going to definitely get, you know, catch up on movies and, you know, more, you know, things more geared toward what writing I do.
Okay, well, let's get into that a little bit. So I'm going to kind of preface it by saying that Robert retired from the U.S. Army. Thank you for your service. And that was, I want to say it was like 20, I want to say it was 2 years ago, but I'm sure it was more than that.
Four.
Oh, so 2018. 2018,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you were in the Army for, was it like 20 years? 20? 20, I'm sorry.
21
years. Okay, so, and... When did you, so were you always a writer, or did your time in the military kind of steer you towards that?
I've always wanted to be a writer, but during my time in the military, for about half the time, I worked with ammunition. I was an ammunition specialist. So that was the first half of my career. And once I found that I was able to switch jobs to journalism, that's what I did. I like that kind of journalism writing as well. And I was able to do that for the second half of my career. So that's what I finished with.
Okay. So I was looking over some of your books, and a lot of them seem to be influenced by your time. Now, you grew up in Baltimore, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so a lot of the stories seem to be either set in Baltimore, and I think one of them was about a guy who's just about to retire from the Army, or he's just retired from the Army. So I'm sure a lot of personal influence. But what inspires your stories apart from your personal experiences? Like what is it that makes you want to write these stories?
Well, to start with, if you're talking about that, those are among my, I want to say, the first three that I did. And sometimes, to be honest, those were just silly ideas that someone gave me. And I used that to sort of start with. I wasn't close to redemption. I did that in 2011. I finished the first one. So I began that series in 2011. So I still had, I didn't even know if I was going to, how long I was going to stay in at that point. So I just picked retirement services out of, you know, out of the air and used a few things that applied to my life, but mostly made the rest of it up. That was really more of a, let's see how far I can get with it, because I've always wanted to write books. So a friend of mine mentioned it to me. I said, okay, let me write a couple, let me put a few paragraphs down. And, you know, long story short, we ended up finishing and I continued with it. And that really got me started. And after I got, and each time I took it more and more seriously, not to say that I didn't that first time, but it was more of a, let me just get started and see, because it's because of it having been something that I've always wanted to do. So let me go ahead and begin. And it took a while for me to finish, because after I got so far, I looked at it and thought, oh my goodness, I'm doing this now. So I just continued with it. And now it's just, it's something I just, I love to do. I take it, you know, very seriously, and I will continue to with every new book that I do. But for those, for that series, it was basically just continuing the story from the last one. And that's those three books. There's A Walk in Mars, A Walk in Mars 2, Over Time is what I call that one, and Blowing Through the Jasmine. All three of those go together. And the books after that, Sell Out and Sold Out, those are more geared toward what's going on in the world today, social justice. That character is very similar. The character of Calvin in that story is very similar to my upbringing and how I came up. I didn't have interactions with the police as he did in the story, but not entirely, not everything that happened in there like that. But that's a lot of what drives me now, is what's going on in the world, social, you know, social justice from all sides of it too. It's not simply just a way for me to sort of be a bullhorn for one side, you know, the side that I'm speaking from, but also to get varying perspectives so people understand exactly, you know, what's going on all around. So to answer the question, my drive now really is to just put out what's happening today.
Yeah, I did notice that when I was looking through your catalog, that some of the books, it seems like one is written from one character's perspective and their interactions with other characters, and another book is written from that other character's perspective. Now, did you intentionally do that, or did you start with the one book, and then after you were done with that, you thought, hey, I think this would be an equally great story from this other character's perspective?
From that one, I would say my third book, Blowing Through the Jasmine, that was one I decided, because one thing fun, and I know you guys definitely understand this, writing from the perspective of different characters, and that's something I've learned in this process as well. So that's not something I knew from the beginning, from that first story, you know, and it, as I said earlier, that was more of a, let's see, you know, where I can go with this. And the more I did that, you know, repeating this again, just taking it more seriously as I went on, I started to become more engaged with the characters. So I'm starting to write from their perspective. I'm becoming, sort of becoming those characters. So when I decided to do Blowing Through the Jasmine, I thought, you know, since I'm being this person who is nothing like me, there's sort of a, it was fun to do, because this is now, I don't have to think like I, as Robert, would think, but this character, Jasmine. Jasmine has almost no filter. She's a woman, and she's very, you know, she's not a mean person, but she sort of speaks with not a whole lot of sensitivity all the time. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, this is kind of interesting to do, because it sort of lets me in the mind of someone other than myself. So that was something that I found intentional, and that's what I did intentionally. And that has also taught me, that practice has taught me to be more in depth with my characters, not make them one dimensional. The book I'm working on right now, titled Systemic, I'm constantly going back into it, and I'm seven chapters, and I just finished the seventh chapter, and I'm going back into it to develop characters more, because as I go around and think, after I'll finish the chapter, and then I go back and say, you know what, this character, there's not enough here for them. And one method that I use is, if I have to go back and look at what I've written for the character, or if I have to try to remember what one character is about when I bring them up, I haven't developed them enough. So that's why I'm with that. So sorry for the long answer, but that's where I am as far as the characters go. It started off as just, you know, testing it out, became intentional. Now I'm really into it.
Okay, I have one more question. I have one more question, then I'll toss it over to Justin. So I'm really fascinated by this writing from different characters' perspectives, that I guess when you're starting, it's easier to be with the first character because that's the one you intentionally set out to do. But when you're writing it from the other characters, do you have to almost keep yourself in check? Like, okay, I have to write from this character's perspective. I can't suddenly start to veer off to in a different direction, that you want to be really aware of how you're writing this character.
That's exactly where, yes, I definitely have to keep myself in check. And that's where my development process comes from, because I have to remember that's not me. I have to remember, okay, I have to develop them enough so that they practically become a person I'm sitting next to, a person who's there. And of course, when you have someone sitting right by you or right in front of you, you can describe them almost to a T. I mean, especially if you know them well enough, you can describe them to a T. You know, if something happens, how they will respond to it. Let's just say I can probably, you know, let's take our spouses. If you have someone like that, our spouses, our best friends, maybe our children, things like that, siblings, parents, you know, when I can develop them enough to do that, then I'll know, okay, how would this character respond to it? What's, you know, their likes, dislikes, what's, you know, it, and as unfair as it might be to me as Robert, I'm not writing as Robert. I have to write from, you know, from them, and not be biased either, where I'm trying to shape them and mold them, you know, from what I would say. It's no, this is that character speaking. And of course, a few times I've come across, you know, people have read and they would, you know, come back and say, oh my goodness, Robert, you really believe this? And I say, no, that's not me talking. That's, you know, that's the character. And of course, how boring would these books be if everything was me talking and my, you know, behavior and my perspectives and my opinions and everything. You know, we have to, you know, understand. My thinking was, like, you know, I want to allow people to see all of what's out there rather than just everything coming from me, because that would get boring after a while. That's just fact. And people don't want to hear from me all the time. So I said, no, let's put what's going on out here and you know, let the characters do the talking. But yes, I have to keep myself in check. I've gone back when I see myself, especially when I'm not, I have to pause at times too, because when I'm going too much into one character, sometimes, yes, you know, myself, I will come out in that character, and then I have to stop. Wait a minute. This is not what this person would do. That's what I would do. So I'd have to go back. I'd have to sometimes chop up a whole chapter. And with screenwriting, same thing. I have to cut entire scenes because I'm the one coming out, and it's like, nope, I can't do it that way. I don't, for example, just real quick, I don't really curse a whole lot. And when I'm having a character speak at length, I may start it that way, but then, you know, it'll start to disappear. And I have to stop and say, nope, nope, nope. This character doesn't have a filter, so they're going to just let it fly. So I have to go and just say, all right, whatever just comes to mind, and let me just do it without giving a second thought to it. So yeah, I do definitely have to check myself. And I'm constantly doing that.
Great.
I wonder if any author has ever had that problem where some method actors come out of their character and they feel like they can't get away from that character. You know what I mean? Never in your case, right, Robert?
Oh, that, you know, I compare, very respectfully, compare myself to, you know, just that part of it, to what actors do. And I'm sure there's some level of struggle they may have with it also. But, you know, that's almost tempted me. I've seen and have read that some actors have, you know, will suggest that writers take acting classes. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of interested me also, because, and they said for nothing else, just to understand how the acting world connect. I'm of course talking about screenwriting now, but how the acting part of it connects with what we do. So I'm constantly a student. I never want to get to a place where I feel I know everything there is to know. Of course we can't, but often when someone does something for a long period of time, they, you know, you start to see that in their behavior, and I never want to get that way. So when I saw that, I thought, you know what, that might not be a terrible idea. I'm not sure as far as when I could be able to do that, but it makes sense. It makes sense to connect, because, you know, you're going to, as an actor, you're going to act what I'm writing. So there should be, you know, some level of connection there.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I took an acting class for, I've taken a few, and they're always fun, and I think definitely help. But I wanted to transition into your book, The Basics, and a little more of writing a book. I was skimming it and thought, I saw one part that I thought was funny. So I wanted to ask, why should you not write a book? I don't know if you remember what you put there. I can guide you more if you don't remember, but why would you advise people not to write a book?
Well, I would advise, if I remember, and this comes from what people have told me, so I think I can remember some of it, because I think I get it every time I finish a book, I get this. There's all kinds of reasons not to, but a couple of them, of course, and I'll try to be brief with it, but if it's not something, probably one of the most important reasons to not write a book, if it's not in your mind to really sit down and be ready to pour yourself out into this book, mm-hmm. because just from where I'm sitting and the conversations I've had with people who have asked, who have said, you know, yeah, I want to write a book. Let's talk. And we'll get on the phone and we'll talk for maybe an hour, 2 hours at times. And they'll tell me, you know, what they'd like to write about and so on. And the vibe I get from a lot of them is that there's not a lot in terms of the work part of it. It's, I want to get all this out, which is good. But the part that I emphasize is that I understand that just because you want to tell a story does not mean that at that moment, at least, you're able to. And you have to connect to that part of it as well. But you have to understand that there's a, you know, you have to sit down, you have to write the stuff out as well. Or, you know, get it in a tangible form. So, because of course there's all kinds of ways to do it, but I would say that's one. If you know, we can always want to do, you know, anything, but the act of actually doing it is something different. That makes sense.
For sure,
that's just one way to go about it. I never mean to discourage someone from writing. It's just, this is too, and I find it great that people, because there's so many stories out there. So I'm the furthest one to discourage someone from writing. But also, you got to know, hey, this is not an easy process. This is not going to be, you know, let me vent for an hour. You know, let me burn my, you know, keyboard and get some stuff out, and then, okay, it's a done deal. No, you have to do that today, and you guys are well aware of this, but you have to do that today, then try to do it again tomorrow, and then you're going to keep doing this until everything is out. And then, of course, you want to have enough material so that people will be interested in reading and feel that it's, you know, in novel form or drama, you know, the drama that they're looking for, the comedy they're looking for, whatever genre you're looking to do, that it's enough for them as well. So yeah. I would say that's probably one reason. And, you know, basically to sum it up, commitment. You have to be committed, you have to be disciplined. And if you know you don't have that, now might not be the time to do it. Not to throw it away or put it on the shelf completely, but maybe not yet.
Sure. I also noted that you said to get rich would be another reason not to write. It works for some people, not guaranteed for all. And the one I chuckled about was to throw people under the bus. I enjoyed that part. You don't want to write to throw people under the bus.
Yes, because and this is and from these conversations, from these conversations, Dustin, it's interesting. And I let people speak. I pride myself on just letting, you know, let me let you get your. It's not my place to say what story is going to work and what stories are not. But hearing the tone and the vibe, you talk to anyone for 2 hours, you'll learn a lot from them. And this is we're talking people you don't know. So I've had conversations with people I haven't spoken with at length, family members. So of course I kind of come into the conversation knowing them a little bit. But so when it comes to certain motivations, that'll be, you won't be able to, I don't feel, you won't, that discipline and the inspiration, the drive, the commitment, all that will be pushed aside if your main motivation is, I'm going to tell everything about this person here. And yes, we know, we've seen it. It has worked for some people. But again, so much has to be there in order for it to work. If that's primarily your reason to want to write, it might not, again, maybe not the best time to do it, because you won't have a whole lot of material to work with, especially if you're not coming into it as somewhat of a writer. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be expert. You don't have to be top of the line, you know, 50 classes that you take. You don't have to be, you know, to that extent. But if writing is not something that you can develop at least some type of interest in, you're going to hit a wall very early, and that book is going to be put away. Which, not to brag about being right per se, but the ones I've spoken with, none of them have really finished much of anything. One person I can recall, she wrote a few paragraphs, did well with it, and I tried to encourage her to continue, but that, you know, it followed sort of that format where it was more of a, I'm going to tell on this person, and it kind of just stopped after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I imagine there's lots of good snippets in there on this book, The Basics. So recommend people to listening, go check it out. But I wanted to ask you about your editing too. You said you're an editor. So how does that work? Do you advertise yourself somewhere? How do you find clients? Any recommendations on people who might want to hire you?
Well, I do not advertise myself as well as I should. My wife will definitely shout me of that, because she's always doing it. I'm doing it less. I have a harder time with self-promotion. I know as a writer and as an author and as a screenwriter, I have to get out of that habit, but often I'll do it for a little bit and then I'll stop, because I'm working on something else. But I have done some work. Some people who have personally known me, they will have family members or relatives who need something edited. So I'll go ahead and I'll take care of that for them. But as far as recommendations, really, because I've do so many different types of writing, I'm open to work with really anything. And I don't mind doing also, not I don't mind, I as the website tells you that I want to do samples so you can see what, you know, so you can see my work basically. I don't mind doing that. And I feel like it's necessary so you can, you know, understand what you're getting. And that's vital, because I'm not, you know, I want you, you know, we should always be able to see what we're paying for. And sometimes you may want one thing, I may just decide to give you something else, and then, you know, I don't want you to come back. So wait a minute, this isn't what I wasn't thinking this. You know, I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna speak for a little bit. I'm going to, you know, give you, you know, let you know, okay, this is what I do. Is this what you're looking for? And that's what the sample helps out with as well, is to let you know, okay, is this good enough? Is this where, you know, are we on the same page as far as what you're trying to do? And one thing also, as an editor for me, and this is, we're talking, there's the proofreading and then there's the overall editing. And proofreading, if all you want me to do is just go through and make corrections on, you know, basic grammar, your, grammar, punctuation, spelling, I can do that. I won't, you know, touch the story in general, cosmetically, I'll just make sure that, you know, looks presentable. Editing goes a little more in detail, of course, by speaking more to the story itself. I never want to change someone's story because, again, it's not up to me to decide how your story is supposed to sound. Of course, if there's continuity errors, if, let me see, what else could we have? If something's wrong with, you know, if a character's name changes here or there or what have you, then yes, that's for me to let you know of. But it's not, as far as my opinion means nothing. As my opinion of the story itself has no, it means nothing. It's about fixing and, you know, shaping what you want. That's why I call myself the writing tailor is what I have on there, because the same way you go to a clothing tailor, they're not going to make your outfit, they're not going to fix your outfit the way they see fit. They're going to ask you, okay, what are you looking for? I mean, of course it has to fit you. You understand? But they want, you know, it's more, it's about what you want, not so much what they're looking for.
Awesome. Last one for me. Have you found any kind of common threads throughout your editing or just in writing your book, I guess, about how to write too, is like the main kind of weaknesses or common pitfalls
that I have or
that new authors face that you might see, like, oh, every single author that comes to me keeps doing the same stupid thing.
Well, let me see.
And if that one is too much on the spot, then maybe something that you found from your own writing that you found was a
I'll give a quick one of both. From what I see from others, and I've gotten some pretty decent stories with some good potential, something good that the writer can work with. I haven't seen too many where it's just, and I never like to sort of give this opinion. I don't want to say, okay, you know, don't quit your day job and you should never. I never want to do that because, I mean, and I know some people, that's where they are, but I always want to be encouraging, because again, I can't tell you whether, you know, whether you'll be successful or not. So the stories I've seen, they have a lot of potential. One thing I've noticed is that development is not so much there, and development of the story, development of the characters. And again, you have to, and on Twitter, and this is a great, this, and it's great, and I enjoy seeing this when someone says, for example, what would your main character never eat? Or, you know, what would they never eat? What color do they hate the most? And you think, well, things like that, like, why do we need to add what their, you know, worst, least favorite color is, you know? But that's something, those are exercises to help us develop and really think of our characters as people rather than just characters in a book or in some type of writing. So to answer that question, I've seen that there's not a lot of development. The story sort of, it kind of has the beginning, middle, and end, but it's pretty shallow. And I would say the most common thread would be that. What I most commonly see and what I've received is that. In my own writing, probably my biggest pitfall is taking too long on early drafts. And what I recommend to anyone who has a hard time writing, because I, with that, as much as I enjoy writing, I can understand why people don't sit and write for very long, because it becomes very tough. And that's another reason I said, as I said earlier, that, you know, commitment, discipline, all that has to be there, because, you know, as much as I love to write, I will get distracted too. And I won't, you know, sit here and pretend I will get distracted. I will jump up in a second when I think my wife might need something. I was like, oh, honey, I'll go get it. And she'll just say, if you don't, we go sit down and finish. I can do this. So is anything that will sort of get me. So if I'm there and I love to write, you know, imagine that person who doesn't really care to write. They won't sit there for long at all. So for me, it's just, you know, not spending so much time trying to craft everything in my head. I need to get it out. It's sort of like when you open a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle. Of course, you want to dump all the, you know, most of the time, what do? We dump all the pieces out. We spread them around so we can see where everything is. We, you know, find our corner pieces first, sides and top, you know, the borders, border pieces, we do that. And for writing, I'm trying to do that also. A first draft is never going to be really, it's not, it's going to be pretty ugly at times. Not a necessarily bad story, but just how it's, you know, how it's constructed, you know, where certain things are. So sometimes you just got to get that part, get enough of that out. And that's something, you know, I sort of, you know, I'm getting better with, but, you know, I will often sit there and try to think of everything rather than let me just type this all out and then figure it out once it's out. From what others, I haven't gotten a comment. And Paul, I wish I would have remembered to do this because you did look at my work once, and I appreciate you doing that. And I would have gotten that to get what your input was, because I've had a few.
Was this for a screenplay?
It was a screenplay, yes.
Okay. And
I wanted to, that would have been a good answer here, Justin, so I apologize. Yeah, that would have been a good answer here because I wanted to share what feedback I've gotten from others, what seems to be common with it. And there hasn't been, thankfully, too much where there's anything so glaring that it's like, oh my goodness, I just really cannot get this right. But of course, I have so much work, so much practice. I'm nowhere near where I want to be with it. So I don't have really anything that's come from others that I can, you know, confidently say, okay, this is something. And I, of course, I know there's weaknesses there. But I'm very much the draft. That's a big one for me at the very least.
Excellent. That's great.
Paul, anything to wrap us up?
Yeah, I have one more question. So Robert, as we've established that you work in both writing books and with screenplays. Now, those are two very different approaches to writing, very different, I guess you'd call it formatting or just how it looks on the page. Now, I mean, when I started writing, it was all about books. Then I transitioned to screenplays. I think it would be very tough for me to try to go back to writing books because I'm just so used to writing in a screenplay format, I guess what you're describing, because it's so visual. But with books, you can describe, you know, what a character is thinking or how they feel. You can do all of these things that would be considered unfilmable for a screenplay. Now, how is it for you going between the two? Is it easy for you to like, okay, I'm going to work on the book this week and next week I'm going to work on the script? Or can you just like go back and forth without any issue? Or do you have to kind of take a step back and think, okay, I have to get back and I have to put my screenwriting hat on so I can, my brain can attune to the way it's supposed to look on the page. I mean, is that easy for you? Was it tough in the beginning or is it just really, really easy for you now?
I've become efficient at it. I don't want to, it's definitely not easy, I want to say, but I say efficient because at least I remember it's definitely putting the hats on because I don't know if I've tried it before. I may have, but I don't do it now. So that tells you how long I did it for in that case. But so I must not have done it too long, but one big thing is that books are often written in past tense. So, and screenwriting is all present. It's described present. Even if it's said in the past, it's the wording is used present. A lot of present tense is mainly used there. So that, and yes, books are very definitely very much more descriptive than in screenplays. With screenplays, you basically have to get to the point and that's it. In the books, you have time to drag that out. I often, when I go from one to the other, I definitely don't do them at the same time. When I go from one to the other, I take a break and then I sort of get myself back into that mode. So it's not something I've become a fit. At this point, I'm probably better at it than I realized, but I don't want to get sloppy. See what I'm saying? I don't want to get overconfident and think, oh, I can just bounce back and forth. The book I'm working on now, I stopped it because I had an idea for a screenplay. So I ended up writing two of them since I've started the book that I'm working on now. And going through, I've become efficient at doing it, but of course there are parts in there where the tense, you know, whether it was present or past was incorrect. So I had to say, okay, nope, this is present. So I have to come back to the present. I described in my description, I went more than I think the rule, the unwritten rule is don't, you know, not to do in a screenplay. I'm talking about not to go longer than really four lines. I've got to 10. And then I said, wait a minute, this is not a book. So let me come back and let me say, okay, remember what can be filmable. Let me stick with that. And so, you know, there'll be a hiccup here and there, nothing that's really crippled me to where I would say, oh my goodness, I can't do this. But I just made a decision to say, you know, when it's time to do the screenplay, let me finish that. The book, because it takes longer, if I decide, I'll go from a screenplay to a book before I go from a book. The other way around. I'll go from a book to a screenplay before doing it the other way. Because a book takes much longer, for me at least, it takes much longer to do. And it's an easier transition going from I think, the book to the screenplay rather than the other way around. So yeah, it's trying to make sure, you know, tough at times to make sure that I don't, mix the two together. Mm-hmm. But no, I enjoy doing both. When I go to one, I miss doing the other. So, and after I finished my last book, the book about writing, when I finished that one, I thought, okay, all right, I'm going to write screenplays now. And I'm going to take a huge break from the books, but where am I doing right now? I'm back to the book again. And right now, and of course now, all these ideas of screenplays I want to write are coming up, and you know, so that's basically where I am with it.
sure, as any screenwriter has a big file of ideas for other stories they want to work on in the future. That mm-hmm. is great. Robert, this has been fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people find you online?
My website is robertpeople.com. My books are all on there. There's a few other things on there as well. My wife has some health journey stuff as well. But robertpeople.com is that. I blog as well. That is under, I'm trying to think, I can't remember if I spelled out. Hold on. I use my initials sometimes. Let me see. I'm on it right here. Okay, yes. People's Court is my, and now this on my blog, I talk about pretty much everything. So if we're sticking strictly to writing, that would be robertpeople.com. But I'm on all the social media platforms. So let me see. I'm on each one. Would you like all the usernames and things like that too? Not usernames, but you know, my.
Well, do you have links on your website?
Yeah, links. The links are all on the website of my blog, my social media. So yep, they can go find
that. I think that's a good place to start. And I also we also know you have an Amazon page, so people can go there if they want to check out your books.
Yeah, as you can see, this is how much I advertise myself. I'm having to try to remember things. Now, if you ask my wife, she could probably just quickly ramble it off to you, but I have to stop and think. But no, that's good. Yeah, and under Robert People, you can just put Robert People in there in the Amazon authors page. And also, what I've decided to do with my earlier books, I'm redesigning those as well. So I actually have done that already. Those copies are coming in the mail shortly. So I wanted to just bring them more current, make some corrections to what was in, and not change the story, but just do some fixing up, because I've always wanted to do that. I'm not pleased with, I'm usually never pleased with any of my past works, as I'm sure you two can understand. You know, you always want to go back and go mess with something in it, but I wanted to at least, you know, have it look better, more presentable when someone picks it up. So that's what I did. So I'm probably going to do it for the first three books and then get back to work on my current book.
All right. Great. Fantastic. That's robertpeople.com, and he's on Amazon, and just, you know, he's all over the internet, so you can't miss him.
Basically. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Great. Robert, thank you so much. This is some fantastic stuff.
So no problem. Thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me on.
Our pleasure.
And listeners, if you could leave some reviews, spread the word of mouth, do all that stuff, that'd be awesome. Once again, I'm Justin. You can find my books on Amazon.
And I'm Paul's. You can check out my screenwriting blog, MaximumZ.blog. I've also got some books on Amazon. I'm also on Twitter at Maximum_Z. He's Justin. I'm Paul. This has been the Creative Writing Life Podcast. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, go write something.